from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to follow.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Dr. Curtis Porter, age 73 at the time of this interview.
My childhood was very happy with some downs, but for the most part, it was very happy, very open, very free childhood. My community was very similar to the communities that your grandfathers or fathers grew up in. And in between the steel mills and the life of the community, there was strong economic activities. And so there was always something to do. We took long hikes to pick apples or peaches out in this area. We played basketball on the dirt court. We swam in the river. My childhood overall was pretty happy, and most importantly, the community was really connected. My father was from Sumter, South Carolina. My mother was from a place called Clifton Ford, Virginia. My father worked in the U.S. Steel factory at Edgar Thompson Steel Mill out in Braddock. He worked there for 40 years, never was promoted. And my father was a very intelligent man. He was the head of Marcus Garvey's United Negro Improvement Association. And my mother was a very enterprising woman who ran her own business out of our home where she sold food and drinks to the steelworkers. They were positive role models. They were decent people. My father was the grandson of the Caucasian man who was the owner of a woman whose name was Dinah, and she was a slave in the kitchen of the man who gave us the name Porter. His name was Frank Porter. My first job was kind of like an unofficial job, working off the back of the truck of a fruit vendor. We called them hucksters. They would come in the neighborhood, sell fruit off the back of their trucks or wagons. We would jump up on the truck and help him out, help distribute the goods to the people who bought them. And at the end of the day, he might give us some ears of corn or 25 cents. And that was my first kind of like unofficial job. My first official job would be working in a bowling alley as a pin boy. And we set up behind the pins. And when the pins were knocked down, we'd clear them out the way. And when the set was over, we'd have to press our feet down on this little bar, and the pin holders would come up, and we would set the pins back on the pinhole, move our feet, get out the way, and the next person would bowl another ball. I think I was 14 years old. While in the military, during the last year I was there, I went to the State University of Plattsburgh, New York, which is where I was stationed. After I got out of the Air Force, I went to Penn State McKeesport, which is now Penn State Greater Allegheny, and of which I am the chancellor. I am in charge of that campus that I started at when I was a freshman. I did my second 2 years and subsequently a PhD at the University of Pittsburgh. My biggest motivation in life, self-discovery, awakening, you know, just awakening and keeping your eyes open and learning more and growing. And I grew up in a relatively poor community, although people didn't think of themselves as poor like that because they were rich in terms of relationships and friendships and people taking care of each other. So there was a certain richness to life, but there were limitations as well. Of course, growing up in the United States from the 40s and the 50s, as a black man, black boy at that time, there were definite limitations that you learned on the way from being a very open child who has no sense of race or racism. You gradually learn that somehow you are expected to be different and limited. And so by the age of 10 or 11, you sort of understand that there's a big difference between being black and being white, for example. That was reinforced because we grew up in a mixed neighborhood. And so the black kids, white kids, kids of any distinction all played together. It really didn't matter until we went to school. And only about the time we got into seventh grade, where we separated from the school that we were all in, that we went to the school that captured a broader base of people. And we came in contact with, let's say, kids who hadn't really had that experience of being with interchangeable groups, that people began to go their separate ways. My favorite quote would have been a quote from Frederick Douglass, who was born into slavery, became an educated man as he had been taught to read by his master's wife. Those who expect freedom without a struggle are like those who expect crops without planting them. That's a paraphrase, but it's sort of like that. If you expect to get somewhere and you don't put in the work, that's sort of like very wishful thinking. You have to put in the work.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Terrell Stanford, Noah Bivens, and Chase Mitchell. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at crossingfences.org.